Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to a special edition of Fat Mouth Sports, the Madness Basketball Podcast. It is so much going on today. It was so much going on this weekend. We're going to do a quick recap of a couple of things that happened this weekend, and we'll get right into the show.
How old you were when you saw your first Jackson State game?
Say, for me to remember back that far, about 10, 11 years old.
We'll go with 10.
Yeah, 10, 11 years old.
And this is a follow-up to that, is that, you know, Jackson State's in your blood. I mean, you played there, you grew up, the whole thing. So does it mean anything more to bring this championship home, having been through the whole, you know, the institute, representing institution?
Yeah, I mean, it means everything. Means everything. I think we said it. Grew up in the stadium, like I said, coming to those games and watching so many great players play in that stadium, and then, you know, deciding to play my college career there, my collegiate career there, and then today, you know, leading the charge on that. It means everything to me. It means everything to me. You know, there's still a lot of people around that were around when I was there as a player. You know, we just, you know, to hug those people after a game like this. My family that supported me throughout, you know, that when we was just basically talking about, my sister was the one who used to take me to a lot of those games. And she was out there on the field with me. So, I mean, it means everything.
All right. So, right off the bat, I want everyone to know what an excellent weekend I had at the Celebration Bowl. South Carolina State, we went to a South Carolina State party. I don't know why. Every time I meet somebody from South Carolina, they want to offer me moonshine. But okay.
That's their thing now.
I'm okay with it.
You're going to ruin a little bit of moonshine?
I'm not complaining. It was just like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. Had a great evening with them Friday. South Carolina, it was actually South Carolina State people and Howard people were at the venue. I think Howard had it earlier. And, you know, when you at one venue and another venue, or one event and then another event star, you just hang out. So had a nice time. Strange lady from Howard just came up and gave me a hug. Don't know who she is. Cool. That was absolutely wild. I was like, hey, Molo, you know how he was like, So I was like, well, I don't know who that was, but maybe I look like somebody. I don't know. But that was cool. Shout out to Miss Jelks from ESPN Events. Always looks out for the podcast. Allowed us to come to another event. They put on a spread for breakfast and lunch. I know it's probably bad form for media to talk about the food that we get behind the scenes. I don't care. They fed us. And it was a healthy feed too. So, you know, shout out to ESPN Events. I know I be on y'all head a lot, but shout out to ESPN Events for feeding us. And Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Let me tell you something. Last year, me and Ash went as spectators watching FAMU win the Black National Championship. This year as media, yeah, that's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's a stadium. That from the media's perspective, yeah, that's nice. I ain't been to a whole bunch of places. I'll rate them later on when I get to some more. But right now, yeah, that was the best one.
That's one of
the ones. The best one I went to. Yeah, that's one of the ones. So it was you know, a good weekend. Shout out to Jackson State. I did not think going into this game that Jackson State was going to win this game, but Jackson State did the one thing that they had to do in this game. Was make South Carolina State one-dimensional. When they made them one-dimensional, it was a wrap. It was an absolute wrap. I'll say this. The first year South Carolina State head coach, Tennis Berry, for him to go from D2 to win the MEAC to end the championship game at the end of the season is nothing to sneeze at. Like, it was a lot of talk back and forth, but that was nothing to sneeze at. He did some yeoman work because I didn't think they was going to make it there, to be honest with you. Some things rolled their way throughout the season, and they made it to the championship game. So shout out to South Carolina State. Shout out to Coach Barry. Amazing work. This just was a storybook ending for Coach T.C. Taylor. How do you go from being a kid watching Jackson State to a player playing at Jackson State to a coach on He Who Must Not Be Named staff and then the head coach? And then you go 7-4, and a lot of people talking a lot of stuff about your first season as head coach. The next season, you win a national championship. That's a storybook. It's not even. Yeah, I'm just like, come on, man. That's the story. That all that other stuff is cute, but that's the story. So, you know, shout out T.C. Taylor. Amazing job. Absolutely amazing job. I cannot say what an excellent game plan that was. Like, it was some plays that was called. I'm like, why are you throwing the ball? Like, sit on the lead. And at one point, I'm like, dang, that might cost him. It never hurt him. That defensive line. And listen, Eric Phoenix is an excellent quarterback. If I'm not mistaken, he won publication HBCU Player of the Year. But Jackson State defensive line said, and it was some overthrows and some key drops by South Carolina State that hurt him. But Jackson State defense, it was the difference. That was definitely different. But I know y'all normally are used to us talking about basketball on the night, and we're going to get to it. Especially if Southern make a run. Please, Southern, make a run for me. But the news that has came out, it's been talked about for the last 2 days. Michael Vick was first rumored to be the head coach or being in talks with Norfolk State to be the head coach of Norfolk State football team. Then out of nowhere, Sacramento State entered the chat. And let's be clear. I know it was a lot of stuff said about the NIL money Sacramento State had or didn't have. There are major publications saying that they have $50 million. If it's in pledges or if it's in cash, it don't matter. For me, as a media guy, they have in some form $50 million that have been pledged. That is real dollars when it comes to recruits, because then they can immediately go, hey, I need you to cut that check today. That's all that is. So I know a lot of people want to sit and debate back and forth. And the only reason we debate back and forth on whether or not Sacramento State got their money, well, two reasons. One, the Mike Vick thing. A lot of people would have been real upset if Mike Vick goes to Sacramento State because they have $50 million in NIL, plus they have millions of dollars in stadium improvements. So it is a program that has stated publicly, we're not trying to stay FCS. We're trying to move FBS. And it's a lot. Oh, you need an invite to go FBS. You can also be independent. It's like, I don't know why people think independent don't exist. Independent exists for a reason. So Sac State, to their credit, is going to offer UNLV's offensive coordinator the job. That's the rumor. Yeah. Okay. Coach Gogo. Coach Brennan Marion that's the word on the street, is going to get the job at Sacramento State. And we're going to see what his offense can do. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I've heard different things. We're going to see what his offense can do at Sacramento State if he actually gets the job. But the news of the day, the Michael Vick coaching experience is going to be arriving at Norfolk State University. I don't know if I'm allowed to say behold, but behold, the Michael Vick experience. I've heard somewhere on another podcast that everything should be $7 hamburgers, $7 hot dogs. That's all well and fine. This man gets a job in a hotbed of talent in Virginia, and the first thought is, oh man, he'll be able to get players that other MEAC schools can't. Yeah. What else is in Virginia? UVA, Vitek, I think it's Wake Forest is North Carolina. Anyway, the schools in the state of Virginia, they're not bastions of recruiting prowess. If he can get in the rooms and talk to recruits, he may have an advantage over teams who have NIL money. And if Norfolk State come up with NIL money, and I don't know the economics of small businesses in the Norfolk State, Newport News area, but if it's anything what I heard, if they have that level of fan base that's willing to give $10,000, $15,000 a piece, they can build them a decent sized HBCU NIL. So this Michael Vick thing is, it's, oh my God. And I posted on Twitter, if Jalen Daniels is still at that school, and I know, Keisha, you said, why am I always posting cliffhangers? Because we have a show. So let me explain why I put .. Jalen Daniels, we saw him week zero of the season make plays with his arm, make plays with his feet against Florida A&M. I'm here to tell you, if Mike Vick can get a hold of this kid and get him to be a game manager and use his legs, it's going to be a problem. Again, he went to Garden City. At Garden City, they are known to have talented people on the outside. All he got to do is deliver the ball. Well, he had Norfolk. They have a good running game. They lost one offensive lineman that I know of right now. So that line is pretty solid. All he has to do is deliver the ball. A lot of people talking about, oh, they need a quarterback. This kid can deliver the ball. Like, I don't know what we're talking about. I know they didn't have a good season, but talent, the physicals. He has the physicals to be their starting quarterback next year and do so. Remember last year, he was only the starting quarterback because Otto Coombs had some stuff going on. That's the only reason he was a starting quarterback. So, man, this Mike Vick. This MEAC Sports. I'm going to shoot y'all a couple emails. We got a whole section on our website. We talk about the MEAC all the time, whether it's Norfolk State women's basketball, if it's Howard's men's basketball, if it's Morgan State football. Like, we talk about MEAC all the time. We just have never featured it on our website. It is now a feature section on our website. Holla at your boys. Shoot us some media credentials. We want to cover this. This is going to be special. I got my pom-poms ready. I got my popcorn ready. The Michael Vick experience is rolling on. Like, what are we doing? Like, whew. Again, I have not transferred from the sweat. I'm just dueling roll. That's it. I'm just dueling roll. I go over there in the summertime, check out, you know, what's going on. It's dueling roll. Dueling roll. But before we get to the main show, we got some people coming on a little later to talk about all of this. But we're going to roll on and get to some basketball, but we'll come back to it a little later. But Michael Vick, man, let's go. All right, DK. We talked about the NBA season and Doc Rivers had not impressed me last year or the beginning of this year. But at some point, he flipped the switch, and the Milwaukee Bucks are buzzing. They buzzing. I think they made the semifinals or the finals of the NBA Cup.
They made the finals. That's going on right now.
Oh, man. So, look, I know I talk a lot of mess about Doc Rivers. I do. But he can coach in the regular season. And he got them young men humming. They look like a well-oiled machine. Giannis looks like a superstar again, which is saying a lot, because for a little while, I don't know. It didn't look right. It did not look right. But they are
because you gotta have enough time to play with each other. That's the only thing. Like, you gotta have enough time to play with one another in order to shake out certain things or to understand. He even said, I remember him going on a podcast. I forget who it was, because he doesn't really like go on too many people's like podcasts.
Yeah.
But he specifically spoke on like he had to really figure out with Giannis, like, yo, can I shoot this thing, or I'm really gonna start feeding you because you're the guy right now. You're that guy in the NBA. And Giannis, then it's it was Jeff Teague. I remember it was Jeff Teague because I remember the comment afterward. He was like, well, that's all I had to say to Giannis because he wasn't passing me the ball for nothing. But Giannis was telling Dame, like, yo, like, let me know when I need to, like, kind of maybe pull back a little bit, because I don't know sometimes. Like, I've been that guy the whole time. I don't know when, now that I got somebody, I don't know. And they got it. They figured it out. And then when Giannis sits, there's no, like, when, like, somebody like Jokic sits and the play of the Denver Nuggets kind of falls down or, kind of depletes. Now, does that in some way hurt his MVP case? Yeah, but, I mean, the team is now a team now. It's not all Giannis doing everything, so it's nice. It's nice to see. Not in this game, though, that they play.
So on the other side of that game, of that NBA Cup, is Oklahoma City. And again, I question, can you win the NBA title with a bunch of 6'9 cats? That's always going to be my question.
No, they don't. They're set. They got a center, bro. Isaiah Hartenstein, he came from the Knicks.
He just came back.
Double-double. No, not really. He been back for like 10 games.
Oh, I thought he just came. For some reason, he just came back. I don't like him. He left the Knicks. It don't matter. I don't like him. But no, they legit. I think they're too young and too dumb to know they're not supposed to be this good, this fast.
I think they got all the experience they needed last year too. They went. It wasn't like they made just some sorry run in the playoffs. Like, they went pretty far.
I don't know, but it is a difference between going pretty far and getting over the hump. Like, we saw the same thing with Golden State. When Golden State arrived, let's be honest, they didn't really arrive until they got some veteran leadership on the team, and then all of a sudden, this how we hoop?
Yeah.
From sun up to sundown. And Andre Iguodala, say what you want about him. That acquisition put them in a different position. Put them way over top. I feel like maybe Hartenstein and a couple others may put them in a position, but I'm sorry, I'm still scared of that Golden State Warrior team.
They're cool.
And I'm sorry, but the Dallas Mavericks, I'm never going to believe in you. Y'all ain't never showed me y'all can, like, scare somebody. Y'all got to the NBA Finals on the fluke.
I mean, that's a whole lot of scoring. That's at least 70 points of scoring that you're guaranteed every night from three players, not counting anybody else on the court. So when you have that, I mean, the Warriors don't really, they don't have that. It's just if the team, they are playing really well right now. They don't have like another guy outside of Curry where it's like, yeah, that dude is going to go off every night. Andrew Wiggins has been cool. He's been pretty consistent. But Buddy Hield, you know he's going to hit his couple threes. You don't know if he's ever going to go over that. You know he's going to give you. But there's not that other guy where it's like, you know what? Wiggins is – nobody's scared of Draymond no more. Let's be honest. Nobody's scared of Draymond no more. Trace Jackson Davis is cool. Like, they're going to taper off. Watch. Mark my word. That Warrior team, they started good. But unless they got to get Jimmy. If they get Jimmy, yeah, that's when
If they get Jimmy, I'm going to be on this podcast asking the world why the hell Steph Curry keep getting Infinity Stones. It is not fair. There is no balance in that. We are now in the Danny Ainge era of basketball. Why are we doing this?
The Heat don't want to re-sign him. He got to end up somewhere. He's going to end up somewhere on a good team. But
He should go to New York, but Pat Riley will never trade him in division. Never.
But why go to New York? Who's New York going to give up? OG?
Yes. Oh. Yes, we will give an OG out of nowhere.
I mean, which is crazy to say because he's averaging 15 a game and he's playing his role.
He's playing his role. But Jimmy is a – you know what? I need to pull back before I get excited because Jimmy ain't been Jimmy this season. And
he's 20. He actually hooping.
But we looking at – Tyler Hero takes shots at the end of games. This is how they lost the finals the last time. Like, no. Put Tyler. Tyler is Robin. He is not Batman. He's not even Aquaman. Like, he is the designated shooter when Jimmy kick it out. That's it. Don't be trying to do no step back threes and get cute. It looked. And I like Tyler Hero as just like a volume shooter. But seeing him step back, shoot the three. No, man. We got, and then you know, it's all these think pieces on why the NBA viewership is down, and it is not one thing, people. It's not, it is a host of things. It is the refereeing is all over the place, it's not consistent. Yeah, I just seen Milwaukee pull with info. It's not consistent. You got their analytics to a degree has ruined this game because these pinheads like me, because it's always people who want to deal in programming and digital whatnots. These pinheads say, you know what? A three-pointer is more economical than a layup or a dunk.
If you're making them at the same rate that you shooting twos,
if you're not
shooting, anyways.
If you're not shooting 45% from two and 45% from three, stop taking step back three in that order. Because it looks, first off, it's a travel. Like, we need to admit that it's a travel. A Euro step is heading toward the basket. You can't Euro step backwards. Like, go ahead and institute the moonwalk. Oh, wait a minute, that's a walk. Like, what are we doing? But these, it's a combination of things of why the NBA viewership is down. And then you add the fact that you can't just turn on NBC or TNT or ESPN and watch the game with your regular package. Now you got to get league pass and all of this.
I mean, but it's the same thing with the NFL, though. Kind of.
Like, y'all do realize that we just got all of that time we was hollering about cut the cord. You know what we got linear cable again in several different pockets. So yeah. Instead of paying one bill for $180, we paying 15 different platforms to watch sports. That's the problem. And then I get on this platform and tell people on HBCU platforms, hey, man, we got to watch our stuff on streaming platforms because that's going to drive the next media rights deal. Well, you can't tell me, Ma, I need you to do 8 platforms plus the school platform. Plus, if there's a special platform for a split
for a special game that they're gonna be on TV for,
like, yeah, like it's what we doing, and so we doing all this stuff, and we're not thinking about the consumer. And I know Fat Mouth Sports with a Fan have a voice. I built my whole platform on that. If the fans can't come to your platforms, if they can't see, never mind the fact you're not growing the game because the kids are in bed when 90% of these games are going on, so you're not growing the audience. All of that is a factor.
Yep.
And I absolutely love the fact that people are having these conversations on why the league numbers are down, but it's not just one thing, it's a bunch of things. Absolute bunch of things. Yep. So, like, we do this because we love talking about sports. There are actual people who analyze these games and give us the analysis. One of those people, or two of those people, we have Herb Seward, who comes on the third. Herb Seward the third comes on every now and then. And then we had Live for Sports come on and talk about, you know, women's basketball, even men's basketball. And even, like, players that I don't like, she kind of co-signed on that. I was cool. But when these people give you their content, and because they're women, you want to degrade them, you know what? Hit me up. Hit me up. You know, it's always protect black women until they start talking about sports. And that's some bullshit. Liv, as a good person, gives us unbiased opinion on basketball. And I know I be trying to push her to be biased, and she's unbiased. And I love that because I don't need to hear my own voice on certain times. But my guy, who is a assistant basketball coach, Liv is a reporter. On what planet, just because it's on Twitter, is it okay to take shots at a reporter? She's not denigrating your program. She's reporting what she sees and her opinion on what she sees. That's it. She's not denigrating your program. I sat down and read the whole thread, and I was confused. And I, DK, to be honest with you, I thought it was a fan. And so before I said anything, I clicked on the profile. Ain't no way this is a coach. This better not be no coach. This better not be no coach. And this is nothing against the coach. Everybody has their opinion. People are going to get outraged. I just need people to remember, just because we're on Twitter, we're operating differently. I'm a journal troll. If you shoot at me about my opinion, I'm okay with it. Because I'm going to give you a mix of love, fandom, truth, and some comedy. I'm going to give you all of that. I'm okay if you shoot at me. I put it out there all the time. Oh, you want to shoot at somebody? I'll be your huckleberry. I can do this all day. I can do this all day. And I'm not going to get disrespectful unless you get disrespectful with me. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to talk about how, you know, your mama used to like to come to Florida State back in the 90s. We don't need to talk about that right now. Anyway, it's this discourse between fans, professionals, journalists, media. These rules are very easy to understand. It's very easy to understand. Don't be disrespectful. You can be a fan. you can banter back and forth. Mark, I can't think of his last name right now, but if you ever see me tag a guy named Mark who's a Florida Gator, me and him go back and forth all the time. It's very respectful. He a boot skin. I tell him all the time, every time he says something about Florida State, hey, man, when y'all going to sign Billy to a long-term deal? I need y'all to sign him to a 10-year, $100 million deal. I need these jokes. So you can be respectful. Me and Trey from Jackson State, me and him have a very respectful back and forth. It might get slightly disrespectful when baseball season comes around, but it's baseball season. Baseball season didn't go the way it was supposed to go last year. Feel some type of way. But it's going to be respectful. Manny, Smooth, no, all of us, we have respectful banter. It's okay. And there's some people, John Mark, John DeMarc, Jesse, she will say, hey, I don't like how you did X, Y, and Z. And I analyze it, and if I, you know, was out of pocket, I'd be like, you know what, I shouldn't have did that. I got to do better next time, whatever, whatever. You have to have an understanding that when you do this on these mics that are hot all the time for an hour and a half to 2 hours,
yep,
it's going to be some stuff that you say, you'd be like, ooh, maybe I should have said that. It's been some stuff to that tweet. You're like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Accountability? Accountability says, you know what? My bad. I got to do better. Oh, I made a comment about a woman a month or two ago, whatever it was. I felt some type of way. I responded. I wasn't disrespectful. I was comedic. But people took it as me being disrespectful for a woman. And I had to analyze that. I had to eat that and be like, yeah, you know what? If I'm from the outside looking in, I might have took it that way too. So, I can see how they go. See, that's accountability. It's okay. It's accountability. Also, shout out to the 65 in the building watching the podcast. I see you. Thank you for being here.
That's crazy.
I have no problem. I have no problem with people saying, hey, holding me to a standard because I want to have a standard. You can't be doing this and not have a standard. So it's cool, guys. Like, give Liv some grace. Understand what she is and who she's doing it for. Because there's not a lot of reporters out there talking about HBCU women's basketball. And she gives a poll on HBCU basketball. Liv for Sports on both Instagram and Twitter. Yep. She gives a poll. She's also on HBCU Plus. Gives all that information out. Shout out to Liv. But be respectful. She's the Oracle. Quit playing. But you know what? We talked a little bit. Gonna hit a quick commercial and come right back.
Now, this year with the change in the scheduling with the men's and women's, how can the fans help the team win home games?
Show up, okay? And now they have to show up. If we got to play well. Okay, I can't expect them to come to see us play on a Monday. You know how hard it is to go to a game at 7 o'clock on a Monday if they don't think that we're going to be good. If they don't think that we're going to perform and show them a good time. Sports is also a form of entertainment. They want to be entertained. And so we hope the way we play basketball, fast, fun, you know, physical, it's an entertaining way to play. So, you know, for us to do our job and then ask our fans to do their job. And Rattler Nation, there's no prouder fan base in the sweat. You know, we brag different. I mean, it's what we do.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, just everybody coming. And you know, we're going to have open practice. We have a football game on Saturday, so we're going to have an open practice. We haven't really – you're the first person to know this. We're going to have an open practice for a football game. Just try to build the fan base a little bit so they can kind of see what we're doing, see how we go about our business and build more relationships on campus and in the Tallahassee community.
I have a lot more. I have a lot of more videos from the SWAT basketball media day that I will begin rolling out. I just want to reach out to those athletic departments because I want to get some other interviews also. So as we start getting those coaches on, we'll start rolling out those videos. It has been, as we get into basketball, as Liv says, can we talk about basketball now that football season is over? It is. So one of the things we do cover, because Marlo is an alum and I'm a fan of Florida A&M, is we cover FAMU basketball. And if I'm not mistaken, it's January the 4th. I'm going to roll up to Tallahassee and go to a game and see the young men play ball and try to – I'm going to do my best to get an interview. I'm working right now to get all of that set up, trying to get an interview with Coach. But one of the things that I want this platform to do is to reach out to coaches. So we're going to reach out because these games are important. I think for me, I'm not telling you what anybody else said, just me personally. When I look at FAMU men's basketball and I look at FAMU's women's basketball, the wins and losses may not show it, but I'm looking at improvement statistically. I'm looking at FAMU play defense, pressure defense, well, consistently. I don't know how that's going to translate right now because, let's be honest, Southern is playing their tails off. Everybody else is playing out-of-conference games, money games. So we can't really judge where they are team to team. But I'm looking at them play well defensively, consistently over games. And, yeah, granted, they might give up 85 points. But if they're holding teams to, you know, 38%, 35% the first half, that's, for me, that's way more than what I expected considering what they had from last year. And the man just got off the bus. Coach Pressure, the women's basketball coach. Players are now starting to see their roles, and you're now starting to see the statistics. Because for a while, I was like, can they score? And now we got one girl who's third in the SWAC in scoring. I think she's like first in a couple other categories, like maybe 3-point shooting or something else. I apologize if I pull it up on my computer. My computer's going to slow down for some reason. But I'm looking at them consistently make improvements. And if you know anything about basketball, if you keep making consistent improvements in statistical categories, eventually it translates into wins. And if you can get on the streak going down the stretch in the SWAC, fam, you got into the SWAC tournament over Bethune-Cookman because they made a run down the stretch. That's how they got into the tournament. Now, granted, they had a girl last year, Miss Grizzle, who was shooting the lights out. But they made a run down the stretch, and Coach Pressure is, she's from Tennessee. She's from that Pat Summit tree. You see what I'm saying? So I don't worry so much. Like, I worry a little bit, but I don't worry so much. Like, I saw what she did last year when she just got off the bus and went to work. She got a little time. She got a squad. She got that she put together. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And again, it's still Grambling State, still Jackson State. It's going to be an interesting SWAT year. And I'm like, when conference play hit, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Listen, it's going to be conference play in basketball and baseball going to really start to get kicked off. I apologize to anybody that follows me on Twitter when I start talking baseball. It's the school down in Daytona. They got some people that every time you turn around, they pulling out them ski masks, but they ain't won nothing. But they keep pulling out them ski masks. So I apologize in advance. I don't say nothing disrespectful, I just want to know if you keep pulling out them ski masks, like, why? We know it's you. We see the whiskers through the ski masks. We know who you is. So, you know, the Alley Cats be doing their thing. But Jackson State also, it's a little stuff there. But what I find interesting is Grambling won the SWAC baseball championship, and they don't say nothing.
Not a word.
Jackson State, Fairview, and Bethune-Cookman was talking all season. Grambling won it all. So, you know, spring sports, or what I like to call strike season, is on the way. And we plan on being a part of it. We definitely plan on being a part of it. I'm trying to, let me check this score again.
Definitely check. 27-28. Thunder up. If that's the score, are you talking about the Ole Miss one?
Yeah, Ole Miss. Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss Southern.
61-74, Ole Miss. Game over.
Let's look at this. I'm interested because, again, they played well. Oof. It was three-point shooting. Let's look at rebounding. Oh, they won rebounding, which I was shocked about, but the three-point shooting. Oh, no, shooting altogether. 37.9 from the field, 30.4 from three-point land. Ooh, bro. Yeah. But they won rebounding, and I think they won steals too. But it was forcing some, it was forcing some turnovers. So, but look, I can't say nothing. They put their best foot forward. FAMU is currently playing Utah. Oof.
Yeah, that might be rough.
Yeah, they shooting 50% from the field and 66. Utah's shooting 50% from the field, 66% from three.
Yeah, so they teeing off already. Yeah.
I want to say I think FAMU's tallest guy, maybe 6'10". I think the tallest guy is 6'10 right now. Wait, hold on. Sharif O'Neal. Yeah, so this tallest guy is 6'10. So they're the smallest team against FAMU.
They have who?
FAMU, Florida A&M.
They have the tallest. Shakir. Oh, he's been there a while?
He's been all season. Yeah, he's signing all season.
Oh, okay. He was somewhere else before. Okay.
Hey, Shaq, back in the day, you gave Jerome James some shoes back Texas in the day. Southern.
Okay.
You gave him some shoes back in the day. Can you give FAMU, you know, whatever you feel is reasonable, you know, whatever you feel is reasonable.
Oh, Lord.
Hit up Fang Exchange. Whatever you feel, just, you know, holla at your boy. That's all I'm saying. Your boy out there, he hooping. School need a little help. We ain't gonna say nothing. Just, you know, slide a couple $100,000, couple million, whatever you feel is good. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. And then, you know, come to the tailgate, I got you. Don't even worry about it. Come to the tailgate, I got you. It's on me. But yeah, this right now it's 12-3. FAMU currently is shooting 14% from the field. Again, these are money games. So money games that's gonna happen.
It's
gonna happen. Arkansas climb blow.
Yeah, they got Oh no, they played some like a D2 school, right, or something like that. Is what I see.
Yeah. I want to make sure I say this right. Esclicia, I don't know. I'm not gonna mess that school up. But yeah, they beat them 120-61.
Yeah, that was.
Whew.
Yeah.
Now, this Texas Southern Boise State game, look.
That's going to be a right? good one.
Texas Southern got a coach y'all really need to look into. For a very long time, this man was not picked to win the conference. But for some reason, he kept making runs at the end. Just, you know what? I feel like winning right now. And go on a run and then win the tournament. I think last year yeah, was the first year it was broken. So, listen, man, Texas Southern. And Boise is shooting 16% from the field.
Yeah.
The only difference in the game is the number of shots. That's all right. Rebounds and shots. Woo. That's going
three.
Of course, it's not on ESPN Plus. 9:30 Prairie View takes on UCLA. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't even know how I feel about that. And then on the MEAC side, Howard. Oh, that's what I meant. Howard fought their tails off against Drexel today,
65-68.
It was they went toe to toe with a mid major. Drexel shot 25% from three and 41% from the field. It wasn't much better for Howard. They shot 39% from the field, 30% from three, which I think probably kept them in the game. They had 19 assists. They had 10 player fouls. So,
oh, they played without my dude Bryce, though. You know, I grew up playing basketball with one of the kids from Howard. Very good ball player over there that they got.
Howard, listen, the MEAC, they got some talent, some basketball over there. Yep. Listening to MEAC, Mike, they should be better in basketball for some reason. I'm not sure how a MEAC Mike seems to feel like they should be better. And that's cool. That's cool. I do not necessarily agree, but hey, it is what it is. All right, I'm going to try and give a couple people a little bit more time to get in here before we move on to some other topics. I'm going to go ahead and run another commercial real quick. We'll be right back.
We have some more merch dropping, but of course the memberships are always the best because in looking at our budget, we're able to determine how many people we can support, how many athletes we can reach. So our memberships help us to gauge that because it's essentially like a pledge. But please follow us on every platform. We are the same.
Just came across the wire. Football news. Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Has been named the starter over Kirk Cousins.
Yes, I'm so happy about that. So, so very happy about that. Good. Get him out of there. He played so scared. He played not to lose last night instead of going out there and winning a football game. I mean, I don't know if that was a play call or what, but I mean, maybe a little bit of both because they were running the football a lot. So I feel like it's not all the way his fault, but.
$180 million they just put on the bench.
Yeah, because they also drafted a top 10. They're making sure that they're going out there and fighting. And I don't blame them. And I don't blame them.
So his cash number is $62 million. His cap hit is $25 million. And 2024, he makes $12 million this year. Next year, they're going to have to give him $25 million. I'm sorry. I misread that. Let me correct. $27.5 million.
Mm.
2026 is $35 million. Bro, you're not getting to 2026. Let's go ahead and just cut the foolishness right now. Kurt, you ain't getting to 20. You're not getting there. So we're going to get to see a rookie in the midst of a playoff run. Only one game separates them and the Buccaneers. So either this goes well and you get into the playoffs, or it's some veterans that's going to be real, real mad.
Totally. Yeah.
But they don't have much choice because Kirk Cousins threw 9 interceptions over 5 games. Oh, God.
I can't even defend that. You can't. How? How could you?
You can't. Like, $12 million this season, and he threw for 100 and something yards the other night. Hey, what are we doing?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
What are we doing? What are we doing? And I want to stand up, Kirk, but I can't. He struggled against my team.
Yeah.
Michael Penix Jr. They wanted it. They got it. And again, yeah. It's at 7:19. It was officially reported by ESPN that Mike Vick plans to accept the head coaching job at Norfolk State. And again, watching another platform, it was brought up how Michael Vick was described. And for me, that's gonna trigger me. Because if you say anything other than former NFL great, former All-Pro quarterback, former Tech great, anything outside the bounds of that, I'm gonna be sending shots. Because if there's even a thought of referencing him with a past transgression, I keep telling y'all, my journalistic integrity is sketchy at best when I'm pissed off. And I'm very happy for Mike Vick. I am very happy for Norfolk State. I am very happy for the MEAC. I am super happy for HBCU football. He generates, he's everything that he who must not be named is not. He, by his very tone, he's a humble guy. He's just so laid back, so approachable. Like in every interview you see, just, he exudes confidence. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, you know, I'm one of the wins and losses guy. I'm not even going to lie to you. But he got to build something there because Norfolk State hasn't done a whole lot in the MEAC. They've never won it. I'm sorry. They've never won it and not been sanctioned. I should say that. They've never won it. So he's got to build a program. And he's from VA. Y'all know that AI could have very well been a quarterback. He could have been playing football. That's how much talent is in VA. That's just off the top of my head. I heard Percy Harvin is from that area.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much talent in that area. It is. We, I don't know how I want to say this. It's some places where you get talent because the need to get out of the area is there. That's how rich that hotbed is. Absolute hotbed of talent in. Good coaching, good talent. And if he get the right offensive coordinator.
Forget about it.
And they... My understanding is they play Howard for Howard's homecoming.
Oh.
we might have to be at that game. It might be a little chilly.
It might.
I got this past weekend, I got me a beanie. So, also, real quick, it is an absolute horrendous idea to cut your hair before you go to Atlanta in the winter.
Yeah.
I don't think I made it. I think I made it to Adel, Georgia, and I was like, no.
I can't do this.
I'm in the gas station buying a beanie. Like, no, I can't. Yeah. But I look like being cold. No. Oh, shout out to Yard House in Atlantic, in Midtown at the Atlantic Station. First off, they got a Nike outlet in that thing. I had to cop me some. I bought some LeBrons, dog.
Hey,
I
got LeBron. Yo. That's what I'm talking about.
See, you just what? Go too far. You just go too far.
You didn't buy no Jordans, did you? So there you just it
go
is.
Go too far. Big, listen, these was on. They was on sale. I don't even know what these call. I don't even
know what they call. Hold on.
I do not know what these are called, but they are comfortable. LeBron Witness 8.
Okay. Calm.
So, but yeah, no, they was on sale. See, I like on sale. They was on sale. I was like, ooh. And they was comfortable, even though I had to get a size 13.
Oh, geez.
Like, because I got wide feet. So right. I had to get a 13. But you know, when I feel like my knees is okay, we're gonna go to the LA Fitness. We're gonna see if they can get me 12 points.
All right.
Get these 12.
All right. Don't make me pull up Jordan's last season stats, box scores, and game log.
I ain't saying my shooting percentage is gonna be great, but I'm gonna get me some buckets against somebody unsuspecting kid. And then I'm rolling out. Ain't no get back. Nope.
No get back.
I'll let y'all see y'all in 3 months. Oh, man.
You know you roll.
So listen, I'm not going to lie. Like, they make you feel young for a little bit. So, like, y'all do understand, I ain't trying to take no 3. I'm not, what you got me way up here for? I am not taking no 3. I'm finna get to this free throw line. I'm finna get to this elbow. Get me a 2 and go on about my business. I ain't trying to be cute. My woman is not out here trying to. No, we're not doing that.
No.
Not even doing that. Not even doing that. It is really like Atlanta is really a beautiful area. Like I can't even front. If I was in my 20s, I would probably go to Atlanta and live too. Blackness, black excellence everywhere. Wonderful city. Absolutely wonderful city. Now, do I think that I'll be going back as a fan again next year? I sure hope so. But, you know, worst case scenario, it could be. Wait, what? Oh, I apologize, y'all. Because a lot of people are watching on Twitter, I try to, you know, track the messages on Twitter. So yeah. I apologize again. Again, 70 in the building. Appreciate y'all stopping by. You know, I've been trying to avoid talking about my Knicks for a reason. It's disgusting. This is.
Wait, what do you mean?
We're 16-10. I think we could do better.
Hold on. Where did y'all win the last game that y'all played though? Y'all beat the Magic.
We beat the Magic.
So y'all doing what y'all supposed to be doing?
So, Brunson and Towns are averaging basically 25 points apiece.
Right, doing what they're supposed to be. Yeah, this is great.
Mikal Bridges is 17 points.
That's great. That's all you needed was at least 15 out of him.
OG Anunoby. Listen, can I get Cameron Payne to double digits? Please.
He don't play enough minutes.
He played 20 minutes. What are we waiting? I'm sorry, that's 20 again. Hold on. He played 17 minutes. No,
yeah. 17 minutes.
I need 10, at least 10. Give me 10 and 17.
You're on the court with Cat and Bridges in them. How many shot opportunities he going to get? He look at his percentages. Look at his percentages. He's showing a great percentage.
He's not getting
the shots up.
So
because they on the court with him.
All right, but I'm looking. Okay, so for instance, I'm looking at Cleveland, which Cleveland is a bad example because they got a run back court and it's going to get exposed in the playoffs. But I'm just going to look at them right now. That's what happened to them all the time. That's what happened to Donovan Mitchell when he was in Utah. We're gonna put you in pick and roll. You're gonna have to deal with these bigs. It's the same old story. But like. Jerome for the Cleveland Cavaliers. 18 minutes, 10 points. That's all I need. That's all I need, Cameron Payne.
I mean, but the thing is, though, like Ty Jerome, for one, if you look at his box score, Ty Jerome had a couple of games, for one, that he started, and for two, that he started and also had 30. So that's not fair to Cameron Payne. He may not ever sniff the starting lineup, for one. For two, he is never getting 30. So that is a tough ask out of the man. Who just be doing his job?
Ty Jerome don't play defense.
That's the other thing. Ty Jerome don't play defense. He just like Garland and Mitchell.
I'm just saying, if Cameron Payne put up 20 shots, Tim's going to bench him for life.
Amen.
Oh,
hey,
I'm just... And... I feel like we should be ahead of Boston Celtics. I feel like.
What?
Yes, I feel like we should be ahead of the Boston Celtics. They got one dude shooting the air out the ball. The other dude.
They really shouldn't be losing, honestly.
The other dude, he trying to shoot the air out the ball. Like, I'm looking at. They starting lineup a lot. A lot.
The Cavs or
no, Boston. They play their starting lineup a lot. Like I thought Tibbs played his starting lineup a lot.
No, he don't.
I'm looking at 36 minutes for Tatum, 35 for Brown.
Well, yeah, because everybody else is under 30.
Holiday is 30 minutes. Yeah. Pritchard is 28 minutes, which I'm pleasantly surprised by Pritchard. Why don't I like White? Like, I don't know why I don't like Derek White.
Everybody loved him some Derek White. What you mean? How do you hate on Derek White?
I don't know. I'm not hating on him. I just, for some reason, I'm just like, why don't I like this guy? He played defense.
He can shoot the three.
He's scoring 17. He's scoring 17 points a game. No. Like, I had this. I'm going to be honest with you. When Derek White was averaging 12 points a game, I had a dude telling me Derek White should be MVP. Like, do you know how annoying it is? You know how annoying
All-star is a stretch. Somebody was saying all-star. That's a stretch. MVP, like, you need to find another planet to live on.
Like, come on, man. Like, you're making me hate a guy for some reason. I don't know why. But how are y'all playing so many people, so many minutes?
That's what I'm saying.
House is playing 22. Hawford is playing 28. Y'all keep...
Well, the other thing is too, you know how their minutes are, like, if you're looking at it from that perspective, is because there'll be games where the other guys will sit.
Yeah, that's what I know.
KP would sit. So at some point during the year, these are going to average out, of course. But KP would sit. Jason Tatum has been out a couple of games. So Brown was getting a lot of minutes. Pritchard, Sam Hauser was seeing a lot of minutes. Sam Hauser was starting some of the games that Tatum and or Brown wasn't playing. You know how they would do. And I'm trying to think. Like, Al Horford sat a couple of games. So they have guys that have sat a couple of games where Horford, Luke Kennard is a really good. Like, that team is good. Like, that team from 1 to 10 is solid. It is very, very solid. I don't know. They're cheaters. I hate that I'm giving them praise, but they some cheaters, man. I'll tell you. I don't know how they got so many white dudes that know how to shoot the dang ball. Shoot the dang ball, bro. Because good golly, man. And I love them, too. I love both of them. Pritchard, Hauser. I wish Kennard could shoot threes because I love him, too, at this rate. I'm mad that I like him. They just play the right way. Even Pritchard plays defense. That's the thing. Like, if Pritchard just shot the ball and was just like, all right, whatever. He out there, I think he averaged like a steal and a half a game, or at least one steal a game. Like, come on. Come on. He giving you a steal a game and he giving you four threes? Come on. Come on.
I think I kind of like Pritchard. I'm like I said again, it's the whole Derek White thing that just irks my nerves that I had a dude in my ear about him. So maybe I'll warm up to him later on. I don't know. This just in. Florida State men's basketball, 9-3 on the season. They beat Winthrop 82-64. I'm looking specifically at the rebound stats. 49-31, 35% from three, 51% from the field.
Okay.
We had 2 20-point scores.
That's good.
Malik Edwards, 6. That's enough. 6-11, giving you 23 points.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's what you
6-11. That's y'all. For those who don't like follow Florida State basketball, Coach Hamilton, for some reason, will find a way to find a big dude from somewhere. At one point, we had two 7-foot centers on the team every year for like 4 years. And they would be from everywhere in the world. Like, Coach hit offseason to go on vacation and go to some Euro camp. And be like, oh,
we picked him up.
7'2"? Come here. Let's go. But, you know, I used to make a joke, like, Coach Hamilton, if he got a team of truck drivers, we're going to make a run. And this team is 9-3 on the season. They played a few tough games. They got size. And they got meaty size. Not just
like
Kevin. Yeah, not that Kevin Durant size. They got meaty size. Run your behind in the paint if you want to. Call 911. So, again, shout out to them. Oh, wait. Did I miss a Jackson State game? Oh, no, that's the football game. I'm sorry. That is the football game. ESPN, it's basketball season now. It's like... Do we need to see him live to tell y'all it's basketball season?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get these scores updated. Oh, the FAMU Utah score, 38-21. Something changed dramatically. FAMU is now shooting 41% from 3, 5-12, and 36% from the field. Dear Father God, Utah is shooting 50% from three and 51% from the field.
Oh my
God. Hey, can we?
Gotta tip the cap, man.
I'm finna get up. I gotta go change to the game because I need to understand why. I bet I see the open shooters. Like, let's get out on the shooters. Hold on, let me change this channel. Hold on.
Oh, he's serious. He's serious. I don't blame him. I'm wondering is how like I'm wondering over this NBA Cup game. I need Shay to wake up.
Y'all ain't never seen that on them other platforms where somebody changed the channel to see why their team ain't doing good. Y'all ain't seen that on them other channels. But you seen it here. You seen it right here. Oh man. Oh goodness gracious. All right. Prairie View A&M and UCLA just kicked off.
They ain't getting popped. And they ain't getting popped.
North Carolina. Tar Heels. How y'all lose to them boot skins?
Because they better.
They ain't even a basketball school. How you lose to the boot skins?
They a top five team in the country right now. Jazz, what you mean? Just because Florida State ain't as good, you can't be here. That's a good school over there. They hooping. What?
You they hooping. Shut your mouth. They always hooping. They're playing in the SEC.
But this is an SEC schedule. This is they doing this non-con.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
These non-conference schedules is crazy.
11-0. And they beat FAMU and Florida State. See, that's why you mad. That's why you was mad. Okay. I see.
It's the disrespect. It's just the disrespect. South Carolina beat Clemson 91-88. And that went into overtime. It's gonna be interesting. I want to talk about Duke Blue Devils. Because I don't believe. And it's not that it's an issue with Cooper Flagg, because we've seen Duke have all world players and not do nothing. Williamson is one of the ones right at the top of my head. They had, matter of fact, it wasn't just Zion. They had like three players on that team, and they still didn't get it done. Do we dare check and see if he's played recently?
No, he hasn't played. He's been out indefinitely since whenever. He played a couple of games to start the year, and then kaput. Hamstring. Will be reevaluated in a couple weeks. This last time I see.
New Orleans is 5-22.
Oh yeah, they in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. Yep.
Why would you doom him to the Pelicans?
I wouldn't. He might end up in Utah or something like that, but. I'm just saying the way that things are going, you know, he might end up in Washington, though. That might be what he would. I'd rather him go to the Pelicans than the Wizards. Because that's a dumpster fire over there, for real. I don't know what they doing.
Wait. In 24 games, you only win 3?
You know what's so funny? Kuzma was laughing at the Pistons last season. And now you are the Pistons. Now what? Now they ain't a play in and you still terrible.
Oh my God.
Like this is generationally bad.
Oh man.
Pelicans are bad. Wizards are worse. Far worse. They are not nowhere near any of the teams that are in. Duke might beat the Washington Wizards. And I know you hate to compare the pro teams to the college teams. No. There's a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds on that team. They might lose to a bunch of college kids. They might. Sorry, Kuzma, but y'all suck. You need to find your way out of there.
Let me look up this contract before I say anything first.
Yeah, he getting paid hefty. Oh no.
Over there too. No, I wasn't talking about that contract. I was talking about Ben Simmons' contract.
Oh, he went the Nets though. So yeah, all right. The Nets are doing that. They're doing better than them. Yeah, I believe Ben Simmons is on the last year of that contract, by the way.
He is. He's getting $40 million this year.
Yeah.
His career earnings is $203 million.
Yeah, he's chilling. He's chilling.
And you mad
at Zion. That's my thing. You mad at Zion when he just finessed the whole system for $200 million. It didn't even do nothing. He did nothing for 3 years, bro. He's just now coming back to basketball. And even still, I don't think he's played like but 10 games this season. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be very wrong. But this is also the most he's ever played in the last three seasons. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ben.
Did you know what his stats? Oh, God. All right. He's averaging 5.3 points a game.
Oh, Lord. Why he the lowest on the team?
5.5 rebounds and 6.6 assists. He's shooting 59% from the field. I wonder what his 3-point percentage is.
I don't know if he shot a three.
Oh, God.
He has not shot a three at all. At all.
From 2017 to now, his 3-point percentage is 0.1.
W average. Man, he really didn't play at all last season. He playing this season, though.
He's averaging 23 minutes a game.
What happened to
5 point? I'm sitting here giving Cameron Payne the business over not scoring 10 points a game.
Great.
And the gutless wonder is averaging 5.
Yeah, 40 mil. Thank you. Now you can cut campaign some slack.
Oh my God. Glad you see it.
I'm glad you see it.
For the meme. I'm thinking about this in the entire lexicon of this whole NIL thing and people losing their mind over money. But y'all ain't mad. A dude is in the pros getting 40 million for 5 points a game. This dude is going out there and getting cardio. He's not playing the sport. He is getting cardio. Oh, my. The man's is getting cardio. And where are they in the standings?
They're actually good. That's the sad part. They don't know how to take her. They don't even know how to take right. They have a bunch of randos. Like, there was a guy, Tyrese Martin. He had 30 versus the Suns. That dude had 30. He scored more points than Ben Simmons did in the entire season. In one game.
Ownership was like, we're going to get Cooper Flag. This dude's out there trying to get a contract. Dude trying to get a contract. Nope.
They got a bunch of dudes just out there fighting.
Oh my God. Because when y'all get done, I ain't going to have nowhere to go play. I'm going to get me a break. Hey,
Jalen Wilson. He's had.
Oh my God.
Oh no. Dang, he had a 30 point game this season. Hold on. Am I mistaken that? Did he go off last year? Yeah, he had 21 in a random game last year. Yeah, I don't know. They finding a way to win games. Like Indiana. They beat Indiana. They beat Golden State. They beat Sacramento. Like, they find a way to win games somehow. I don't know what they be doing, but they find a way to win.
And y'all mad at some dudes with NIL. And since he signed, what is the news? So there is a Texas A&M, I believe, Micah Hudson.
Okay.
Micah Hudson apparently had some NIL requests. Now, please understand before I go down this rabbit hole.
No.
I believe players 100% should get their money. Without a doubt. However, it's the other stuff. It's the hangers-on, the adults that get involved that make some of this stuff crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Upfront money request, I'm okay with that. Hey, you want me to sign? I need this wire transfer. I'm okay with that. Upfront, I need an NIL deal for 3 cars. And this, if true, why do you need an NIL deal for 3 cars? The money that you requested to take care of the cars. And if you get 3 cars in an NIL deal, that adds to the total value of the deal, and you still owe income taxes on that money. Yeah. And why does anybody, whether it's you or anybody else, need a chauffeured car to anything?
She's like, that don't even make no sense.
So, I already know. I like, you don't have to read into it. You know, it is other people involved. Hey, dog, you get paid. Make sure I get paid. That's not how this works. It is people who, there are players out there who are actually struggling, whose family is actually struggling, who would be happy just, you know, I seen other people requesting $10,000 a month. It's people would be happy. With 3-4 grand a month. That would be life changing to them. Hell, that would be life saving for them. I am 100% get to the money. I have never said get to the perks. The perk is not the goal.
It's not.
You are asking for worthless requests. That car is going to be, at the end of your 4 years, that car is not going to be worth the pen and paper you signed on to do that NIL deal. But it's the, man, stop fucking living vicariously through these kids, man. Stop.
That's exactly what was happening.
NIL didn't exist in that era for a reason. We was getting taken advantage of. And if they had introduced NIL at that time, I don't know if we would have had the ability to understand what was undertaken. Because make no mistake, it was NIL back in the day, but it was under the table. Because y'all, since y'all want to make NIL pay for play, which is not, it was money being handed under the table. But come on, man, we got to be responsible adults, man. What are we doing? We're not teaching our kids values. If you see your kid, nephew, best friend, whatever, as a ticket out, one, I hope that kid understands that that person that's leeching on to them probably not going to be there on the way out. Two, if it's a relative that's doing this, I pray that, like, you find strength to say no. because your every achievement is going to be seen as their achievement. And it is easier to teach a man to fish than to give a man a fish. Because once you give him a fish, you're going to have to keep giving him a fish. And he becomes your responsibility forever. So, I mean, that's my little soapbox. I saw that and then I was feeling some type of way because I'm like, man, I'm pro these players getting this money. And everybody telling me, no, man, it's out of control. I'm like, no, it ain't out of control, man. The money they throwing away anyway. It's just legal now. And then this shit popped. Like, what are we doing with that? Like, that doesn't benefit the school. It doesn't benefit the student. It doesn't benefit anybody. It's just, oh, look at me. You want to throw your roller in the sky? Wave it side to side? It's crazy. Crazy. But we're going to hit one more commercial, and then we'll be right back. The Madness Basketball Podcast. Ooh, this one's good. This one's good.
If I would have known that you wouldn't be here anymore, I would have made the moments last a little longer.
So, for those that don't know, that was a TikTok from a young lady that during Tuskegee's homecoming, a gentleman pushed her out of the way and he took a bullet for her. And I bring it up to say that we just had another mass shooting. And they're getting younger. And I have a kid. And I am running out of things to say. We can't keep doing this, but we do. It is either we are lax in our oversight of gun safety, or we have a gun problem. I've never subscribed to the we have a mental health problem. Because if mental health was such an issue, we would have more mental health services available to people in crisis. But we don't. So that means mental health really isn't the issue. It really is the gun issue. And I'm not here saying to take everybody guns. That's not what I'm here to say. I'm not a gun nut, but I understand that sometimes you need a gun. So my solution isn't take everybody's guns. My solution is make people who own guns responsible. If you have a gun and that gun falls into the wrong hands, you are now culpable, or you should be culpable for what has happened.
Yeah, I agree.
So if somebody shoots somebody with your gun, you need to be on trial next to them.
Yup.
And that may only do a little to nothing, but it's a solution that I think people can get behind without going into their corners and putting up their walls of defenses and don't take my guns and from my cold dead hands and all of that crap. A little easy solution. I'm 52 years old. There have been shootings at schools since I was in middle school. I'm 52. I have not gone a year in my life without a school shooting. Let that sink in.
Terrible. Terrible.
So for everybody, say a prayer. Kiss your loved ones. But then till we start doing something about it, we're going to keep going through this. And that's kind of all I got this week. DK, what you got?
Well, I guess I'm going to go with the NBA Cup, man. I know you're not one really for it, but with it coming to the end tonight, I just want to say that, like, with it now, we've now had 2 years of it. And again, me personally, I mean, I know that I do a little bit more things betting-wise nowadays, so I'm always going to be interested in whatever sports or whatever, like, it doesn't really matter. But I can definitely tell from the coach's perspective and the players past a certain point, like, especially toward, like, the like this game in particular, for sure, as I'm watching it. And then, like, the elimination games, like the playoff type of games, in this NBA Cup, every player cares. Like, you could see on the court, they're running, diving for loose balls, and not, like, almost like it's a playoff atmosphere. And I'm looking, I'm like, that's not what I see on a regular Wednesday or on a weekend game. So for us to get this type of basketball during football season, I'm actually, like, I get excited during those particular days, like, because I know that they're going to at least try. They're not, like, just going out there to get the check that day. And maybe, you know, guys are just going out there to just simply do their job. They're not looking to do anything more or anything less. These games, they actually seem to be wanting to fight for more. So I wonder what everybody else's opinion is in, like, the greater basketball community, and then, like, what type of feedback Adam Silver's getting about it, like, from his people and his camp. And if it's making money, then it's probably never going to go away. But if it's not, what direction are they going to go in? Are they going to disband it at some point, or, you know, what? But, hey, that's my time for today. I think great show. Another good one.
Man.
Oh, and get well, TP, because I guess we heard it before the podcast started that he wasn't really feeling too well. He'd been working a heck of a lot over there. So hopefully get well soon, Mr. TP.
Man, he got them babies and it's cold in Vegas.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie though, I can't wait till we go out to Vegas. Definitely can't wait till we go out to Vegas. Real quick, again, Mike Vick, thank you for joining the HBCU space. Your presence is needed, welcome, and loved. For everybody that follows the podcast, fatmousesports.net is the website. You'll check out all of our content there. It will either be there or directed to your favorite podcasting platforms, Apple, iTunes, all of that stuff. So we are on at literally every platform. Just put in Fat Mouse Sports. We are there. Apparently, there are platforms that I didn't even know about that we own. I'm going to reach out to them because we ain't getting paid. So why are we there? But everywhere you consume sports podcasts, we are there. Thursday night show, Gathering Old Man Podcast. I was hoping to have a couple guests on, but again, it was last minute with all the breaking news. Yeah. Maybe you'll be able to get them on Thursday. I would definitely try that. But for everyone here at the Gathering Old Man Podcast, myself, DK, TP is currently sick. We are